This morning, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. I want us to consider the last verse in the chapter, verse 23. You know this verse well. Probably not a message I've preached that hasn't at some point in it, I've quoted this verse. And I want to remind you again while you're turning of the simplicity that's found in the gospel. The gospel message is very direct, a very plain message. It's not difficult to understand, but it is impossible to believe apart from a divine intervention from the Holy Spirit of God. A perfect example of this straightforwardness and this directness that I'm talking about is seen in this text here in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 23 with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if a man or a woman die in their sin, in rebellion against God and his Christ, they've earned and they deserve eternal death, for this eternal death is sin's wages. How plain is our text here? The wages of sin is death. If men and women persist in their rebellion, if they continue in their transgressions and their iniquities and their unbelief, and they die in their sin, when God sends them to hell, and he will, their condemnation is what they've earned and what they deserve. But, don't you love that little word? But if a sinner by God's grace repents and lives by faith in Christ, trusting in him alone as their righteousness before God, eternal life will then be theirs as a free gift from God. Have you ever heard such a wondrous thing? Isn't that what the text says? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, concerning the wages of sin, what I deserve is what I've earned, and what I have earned is what I deserve. Yet, if I'm admitted into the presence of God to spend eternity face to face with Christ, it's not going to be by any work of righteousness that I've done, because my works of righteousness are filthy rags. So if I'm to have this perfect righteousness, it has to be by the free gift of God in Christ. At the end of my days on earth, if I'm weighed in the balances of God's justice and found wanting, I'll be forever condemned and forever separated from God. And if I am, it'll be the result of a deliberate effort on my part. There'll be no one to blame but me. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm only getting what I worked for, and I'm only earning what I deliberately made an effort to earn. Death will be my wages. So death by sin is the result of a deliberate and a willing effort on my part. But if eternal life is given to me, it'll be the result of a deliberate and willing effort on God's part. How do I know that? Because Paul tells us very plainly here that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift to me. But it cost God his son, and it cost God's son his life by a death of humiliation and suffering the shameful death of crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. And I mean to be repetitive here. Condemnation and death is a result of something I've done. Sin has been a deliberate effort on my part, but salvation? Oh, salvation is the result of something that God has willed and something that God has done by a deliberate effort on his part. So let me say it again. If I go to hell, It's my deliberate doing. And if I live eternally in heaven's glory, it's God's deliberate doing. And that's why I cannot accept the false teaching that Christ died for everyone. Because if he did, then everyone would be saved. Now listen to me carefully. I know I say that a lot, but I need you to hear this. To say that Christ could shed his blood and die in the place of one who could still be lost is a blasphemous statement. That is to say that God only made salvation possible and that Christ shed his blood and he died that horrific death of crucifixion to leave the salvation of the sinner in his own hands, according to his own decision, according to his own will and acceptance of what Christ made possible. That is absolutely contemptuous and irreverent to our sovereign God. That's to say that our Lord Jesus is a failure, and it goes against the true doctrine and teaching of the Scripture. But understand this, there's absolutely nothing that will keep a man out of heaven and away from eternal life but his own unwillingness to bow to and to trust in Christ Jesus. Again, I know this from the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 40, he said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." What is that but unwillingness? If a man goes to hell, it's because he won't come to Christ that he might have life. And the only thing that'll keep a man or a woman out of heaven's glory is his own unwillingness to worship Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, a man's depravity won't keep him out of heaven, but his self-righteousness certainly will. Damnation is by my guilt. I'm guilty, but salvation is by God's grace. That's not hard to understand, and it's not that folks don't understand it. It's that they don't believe it. After all, what most people hear from pulpits and preachers today is that God owes everybody the right to make their own choice, their own decision, and exercise their own will. They say that God is not going to force you to believe. Let me tell you something. If he don't, you won't believe. It's just that simple. If he doesn't make you willing in the day of his power, you will never be willing. I heard most of my life that God doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates the sinner's sin. What I'm saying is this. The sinner and their sin are one and the same. You can't separate them. Sin is what we are. How do I know? Again, I go to the Scriptures. David said we were conceived in sin. David said, "I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me." He said, "The wicked are estranged from where? From the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies." Why is that? Because sin is what we are. We don't have to learn how to sin. It comes to us naturally. And there's nothing that keeps a man out of heaven but his own unwillingness to trust in Christ alone. But there's nothing that keeps a man out of hell but the sovereign will, purpose, and love of God in Christ. Someone asked Brother Mahan one time how he reconciled those two things. And he said, "Well, you don't have to reconcile friends. They're not enemies." Now, it's a man's will or lack of it. It's actually their unwillingness. Their unwillingness to bow to Christ. But the only thing that keeps any sinner out of hell is God's sovereign will, mercy, and grace and love to that sinner, and that's in the Lord Jesus. I know I'm being redundant. I certainly mean to be. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about God being grieved for 40 years with who? With them that sinned, those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. And those people fell in the wilderness because God swore that they should not enter into his rest. Oh, that rest that was to be found in the land of promise, the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they did not enter in because they believed not. They were unwilling to believe. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 19. As I read that verse, I think to myself, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Men talk about and they're proud of their free will when God simply says in his word that salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's in your Bible, Romans chapter 9, verse 16. You see, your will keep you out of heaven, but it won't keep you out of hell. The only thing that'll keep you out of hell is God's will. And again, I say the wages of sin is death. Just how serious is this gospel that we preach? It's life and death serious. But men and women don't act like it's very serious. Men and women act as if they can take it or leave it. No big deal. Many today carry on as if there's no consequence to sin. But there's great consequence to sin. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death. I had a man tell me one time that God was too good to send him to hell. You see, the real problem was that he was too good for God to save. He didn't need God. He didn't see that death was wages for his sin. And if you don't see that death is sin's wages, you'll never have a need of Christ the Savior. The truth is this, and we see it plainly in this little short verse. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death, all come because of man's sin. Because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The problem is that most people don't believe that. Men think that sin's wages called death is for murderers and serial killers and child molesters and rapists. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that by one man, sin entered this world and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon all men and women. That man's name was Adam. It was by Adam's will and by Adam's fall and by Adam's transgression and by Adam's rebellion that sin came into the world, and death came by that sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We can't blame it all on Adam. We've done our share in it too. And all defilement came by Adam's sin, and yet every man and woman has sinned in their own right. And here's where men and women get lost. This is one of those areas that the natural man receives not. It's foolishness to a natural man. A man that's not been born again and given light from above cannot see these things. When Adam sinned, I sinned. When Adam rebelled, I rebelled. When Adam died, I died. Why? Because he was my federal head. And we've got to take full blame in this. We can't, like Adam, blame God and say, the woman which thou gavest me, gave me to eat, she's the reason I did this. If you haven't given her to me, I would have never done this. And we cannot, like Eve, stand and blame God saying, well, the serpent that you made, well, it's all his fault. He beguiled me. He deceived me. No, we're without excuse. You know, we do that though, don't we? A lot of husbands and wives do that. A lot of parents and their children do that. Why did you do that? Well, I did that because you did this. Yeah, but I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't done this. Well, I only did that because you said this, and I only said that because you did this. It's a vicious cycle. We all play the blame game. But when we stand before God, there won't be any of that. Why? Because we're all guilty. God will require us to take full responsibility and full blame. Oh, may God teach you and me that right now before it's too late. After all, it is all our fault. All our distress, all our calamity, it's our own fault. We brought it upon ourselves. But men and women won't admit it. Herein lies all the error. Men attempt to make God less than what he is. And men attempt to make man much more than what he is. Now in Psalm chapter 14, David wrote this. He said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now the words "there is" are added to the original text. What David said was, the fool has said in his heart, no God, no God for me. And that's not all that David said. He said, they are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. The word there is stinking. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, now, brother, I'm not all that bad. You are in God's eyes. You are when compared to a thrice holy God. Friends, by nature, birth, and practice, we are in that number called all. We are all, not only under the sentence of death, but by sin's wages, we all deserve to be forever condemned. Do you see that concerning yourself? Oh, if you do, I rejoice with you. It's such a good thing that you do, because only God can reveal that to a man or a woman. And God will have to reveal that to a man or a woman before they ever see their need of Christ. Yet, we must not only see our condemnation as what we deserve, but we must justify God in condemning us. We must agree that God would be right and reasonable to condemn us. I say it all the time, but it's so true. We must take sides with God against ourselves. And only a work of grace in the heart by the Holy Spirit can do that. To justify God in condemning us takes a divine revelation from God Almighty. God has to teach you that. He's got to show you what you are. None of us deserve God's mercy. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. Why do men and women think that God is obligated to save them? God's holy law offers no plea on our behalf. The holy law of God declares, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. What the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Do you see that you're guilty? Oh, rejoice if you do. Only God can show you that. Oh, the law of God consents to our eternal destruction. Divine justice consents to our condemnation. Matter of fact, all men and women are already condemned. That's what our Lord said. Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already, John 3:18. If we are to be saved, God's got to intervene. To be damned, we only have to be left alone. Why? Because we're already condemned. We don't have to do anything to be condemned. We're already condemned. We're condemned already. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. It abides on men and women right now. And someone might accuse me of preaching a gospel that has no hope. I remember Brother Maurice used to say, if our salvation is up to us, there is no hope. How true that is. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Can you do good that are accustomed to do evil? What did Paul say? Oh, I wish I had an ounce of Paul's faith. But what did Paul say about himself? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said that in the flesh, no man can please God, and by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Friends, apart from Christ, we're without strength, without Christ, without God, and without hope. That's what we are by nature. Do you believe that? Oh, if you do, there's hope for you. The wages of sin is death, and we've earned every single penny. And the law of God and the justice of God demands that we receive every single cent. Now, I want to quickly show you five things that should give you great hope. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but if you would turn with me to Psalms chapter 40. I hope you're able to follow along there at home. It's so important to see these things, I think, in our own Bible. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40 was written by David, but we call it, along with several others, a messianic psalm. That simply means a psalm that is prophetic concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the words here in Psalm 40 were said by David, but they were also prophetically the words of Christ. I want you to look at verse 9. In a couple of verses here, verses 9 and 10, we see these five things that should give us great hope. David said, verse 9, he said, "I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart." So the first thing I want you to see that should give you great hope is the righteousness of God found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is talking about Christ's righteousness, not ours. Not ours because we don't have any. Remember, none righteous, no, not one. Remember, our righteousness is filthy, stinking rags. And righteousness is not what we do. Righteousness is what God did for us. Righteousness is what Christ made us. Do you remember how Abraham became righteous? The scriptures say he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The only way that you and I can be made righteous is to believe God. Believe what God says about us. Believe about what God says about himself, about his son. Did you know that only righteous people will be in heaven? Or you might ask, well, Brother David, you say all the time that we're all sinners. We are. But God made us righteous. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And that's the righteousness that the Lord Jesus preached. And that's the righteousness that all God's true servants preach today. Now there are going to be a lot of folks shocked in the day of judgment when God says, "Depart from me, ye that do iniquity, that work iniquity." He said, "I never knew you. But Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils. We laid hands on the sick. We've done many wonderful works." And God says, "Yep, and they were all works of iniquity." You see, they never loved the righteous work of God's Son. And God's not interested in your so-called wonderful works. He's interested only in the wonderful work that Christ did. Now, secondly, in Psalm 40, verse 10, we see the second thing that should give us great hope. David, in prophecy, said, "I have declared thy faithfulness." That's speaking of God's faithfulness. That's talking about Christ's faithfulness, not ours. Oh, that God might enable me to preach in a way to shut sinners up to God's faithfulness and not their own. If I don't preach his mercy, his grace, his love, his forgiveness in a way that it would cause you to seek him and him alone, then my preaching is greatly lacking. God is faithful that promised. You can trust in him. We can't produce what God requires, but Christ certainly did. For example, I would have you consider water. Water is a gift of God. He has it rained down from heaven. We can't produce it, yet it's free. All we do in order to have life is to drink it. Air. What about air? Well, it's the gift of God. I can't produce air, and neither can you. And air is free. All we do is breathe it. And we must in order to live. So, will you drink and breathe? Of course you will if you want to live. Jesus Christ, he's the gift of God. His righteousness is free. I cannot produce his perfect righteousness no more than I can produce water and air. But I'm going to take that righteousness. You better believe I am. You see, I must in order to live. I'll drink from the water of life freely. And I'll acknowledge that it was God who breathed into me the breath of life and made me a living soul. And it's Christ alone in whom we live and we move and we have our being. You see, it's all about Christ. Not interested in your wonderful works. Thirdly, the third thing here that God gives a sinner great hope is the preaching of God's salvation. Do you see that there in the verse? David said in verse 10, here of Psalm 40, he said, I've declared thy salvation. Now, we didn't make a decision to save ourselves. God decides who he saves. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. We don't exercise our free will and accept Jesus. We're accepted of God in the Beloved, who is Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord in its origin. The Lord said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. When did God choose us? Before the foundation of the world, before any of us were born, before any of us had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's of God. Salvation is of the Lord in its execution. God sent forth his Son made of a woman made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law by being made a curse for them. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. It was God who made his soul an offering for sin. God did it. Salvation is executed by God, not by us. Thirdly, salvation is of the Lord and its application. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. And salvation is of the Lord in sustaining power. We are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. John 13:1. And sinner, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans 9:16. And then the fourth thing that should give us great hope is the preaching of God's loving kindness. David in verse 10 said, I've not concealed your loving kindness. Oh, we talk about the wrath and judgment and justice of God. We talk about the wages of sin being death. But God's love is always and only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. David said in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness. And thy tender mercies blot out my transgressions. Do you remember what John said? John said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And friends, the fifth truth that should give us great hope is just that. Truth. I thank God for the truth. For years and years, I never heard the truth. I had a false hope. I was trusting in something that I must do to be saved. David said, I've not concealed the truth. Paul said, I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. I've not shunned to declare unto you the counsel, the whole counsel of God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man, no woman, no sinner, nobody cometh to the Father but by me. All truth is in Christ. If we preach the truth, we'll preach Christ. And if we preach Christ, we'll preach the truth. Isn't that what Paul said in our text? He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you don't hear anything today, hear this. There's no mercy. There's no grace. There's no blessing. There's no benefit for any sinner except in and through Christ. The love of God is in Christ. Yes, no one is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ is the door unto God. Christ is the way unto God. Christ is the light that reveals God. Christ is the peace that we have with God, that peace that passes all understanding. In an Adam we die, but in Christ we're made alive. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Heaven is to be with Christ. Hell is to be separated from Him. Everything God has for the believer is in Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that life is in, by, and through Him and Him alone. So let me ask in closing, are you trusting in Christ alone to give you life? Salvation's only in Him. Salvation is of the Lord. What does that mean? Just what it says. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's doing. Father, thank you for Christ. That's our constant prayer of thanksgiving. Oh, you didn't have to send your gospel to us. You didn't have to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. It was a free gift. And as we have freely received, Lord, we endeavor to freely give. Let us always be found preaching Christ. Lord, save the lost. I know there are some listening this morning that are yet without Christ. I don't know who they are, Lord, but you do. Show them that their wages for sin is death. But show them that in Christ they can have the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ is that gift of righteousness and faithfulness and salvation and loving kindness and truth. Oh Lord, enable us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Him. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. We need much help in believing. Continue to show us our need of Christ. Lord, remove the fear that's been instilled in the hearts of many by the world and the things going on in it. Cause us to see that you're in control and that you're working all things together for the good of them that love you, those who are the called according to your purpose. May we always be found trusting in you for all things. And Lord, it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I've been closing these live streaming messages with these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. You see, He's the only one that can. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. Oh, may God reveal Himself to you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance unto you and give you peace. That's what I want. That's what I need. That peace of God that passes all understanding. Only God can give it. Do you want that peace? Ask God to give it to you. Beg Him if you must.